I'll call the meeting to order. Do I do roll call?
I'll do roll call.
Okay.
Commissioner Brown?
Present.
Commissioner Preston? Carr, are you here?
Yep, Carr Preston's here. Sorry, I lost the connection for a second.
It's all right. Commissioner Brangle?
Present.
Commissioner Lowe?
Present.
Commissioner Graham?
Present.
Commissioner Holt? She was here. She stepped out, looks like. And Commissioner Chipwankar? Commissioner Walfell? All right. You have a quorum.
Great. Again, I'm happy to run this, but I think in the past we've just kind of had, well, here, we can figure this out as we go, but do I run this, go through this meeting, go through the agenda? Please remind me.
You'll announce what the next agenda item is, and then I'll help you through it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we've gone through one, which is call to order and roll call. Two, I don't know, is there anyone there? Is there any room for public comment?
Commissioner Chipwankar just arrived, just for the meeting record. We do have some members of the public in the audience on the Zoom call. Is there anyone? There's no one who signed up in advance to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the Economic Development Commission today? All right, hearing none, we can move on to item three.
Item three, approval of the meeting minutes. Everyone have a chance to review. Any questions? If not, moved. Do we have a movement to approve them as written?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, thanks.
Brangle and Graham.
Okay, so.
Wait, give me 1 second. Kyla's got a call. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes.
Great. All right. So the reason that we wanted to get this together is we want to make sure that we're really moving forward on a number of these items. We have some new people on the committee and want to make sure we're all up to speed and we are all kind of have a clear understanding of what we want to do. As you guys know, there's a number of different areas, topics that we just need to address, at least have a plan for. And really, to be honest with you, I'd really like to get some of these moving forward. We've been dealing with what and ifs for some time now, and I think we just have to deal with things as they are and come up with, we need to have some new plans around some of these. Some of them are going fine, but we really need to be moving on some of these where they've sort of been stale. So to that end, I thought we'd get together and we could try to get at least some more background, answer any questions, and then kind of come up with possible next steps for each of these development updates. So at Lake and Park, I know quite some of this, but Lisa, it might make sense if you give a little background on some of this, and I can fill in as well, and others that have as much knowledge as myself, and then we can kind of do a Q&A, and we can go move on to kind of what should be next steps. How does that sound?
Sure. So within the packet, there is a document, and I apologize. Oh, you know what? I should really go on camera. I'm sorry. So within the packet, there is a two-page summary of the development site and some of the history on the site. So what we're talking about is the corner, the southeast corner of Lake and Park, which includes the parking lot at the corner that the village owns. There's a parking lot to the south of that is attached to the commercial building to the east of the village's parking lot. And then there is a vacant lot right across the street from the village hall that the village also owns. And so we have gone out to RFP a few times 2011, 2014, and then again in 2017. The 2017 RFP was designed to target very specific developers to see if they could come in, be a good development partner, and determine what type of project would be ideal at that location. And so the Village has a development partner, IBT Walsh, that they have been engaged with for the past few years to try to bring a commercial project to light at this particular property. So strictly commercial building with retail tenants on the first floor, potentially a restaurant, and then office space on the upper floors. The main challenge at this particular site is property assembly. Assembling the site the way it has been proposed requires that the building owner at 77 Lake Street sell the building, sell his property, sell off that parking lot, and to this point, he has been unwilling to do so. So we have, in the meantime, acquired another property on Franklin, 418 Franklin, which is now a parking lot. It has been a parking lot. We purchased it from the bank across the street, and it is currently used as parking. So that is the kind of very high-level overview of the history of that particular property.
Yeah, and so we've gone back and forth for the owner of the commercial property. So I have a couple of thoughts here, but would open it up. I don't think he's going to sell. Others might have other thoughts on that. It doesn't, or, you know, the estate, I don't know if they're going to sell. We keep on going back and forth. And quite frankly, I think we should have a contingency plan in my mind, not even a contingency plan, a plan for the fact that he's been unwilling to sell. As you heard, we this has been out since 2011, it's 2021. I don't know exactly. You know, I think there was some talk that if you look at the piece here, there was some talk that he would be willing to sell the parking spaces that kind of are in between A and B there. And maybe for some consideration, new parking if something we were to build something there, or for the parking that would be available from Franklin. So that might be a possibility. I think we have to assume that we can at least get that parking lot, I think. Otherwise, really all we have is just that one small parking lot and the vacant lot and no continuation there. I know we've been working with Walsh. So my thought is twofold. One, you know, we need to work under the assumption we're not going to get the commercial property for right now. And I guess I'd ask others maybe with some more knowledge. Tim, you might know this. I don't know why we're working just with Walsh and not bringing this to like a brokerage firm or something of that nature, where we're having them do the marketing, them kind of see what the space can offer. You know, I understand we have to do some due diligence up front. I think we've done a lot of that. We've seen, you know, we've talked to our council, our people. You know, I'll throw it out there, but well, first of all, let me just throw it out. Now that people have kind of been caught up, are there any initial thoughts, questions?
Yeah, have there been any?
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I thought Jack Strand had somewhat changed his mind, and that was working with the developer, and the Village is really stepping back on this. I mean, that's what the document said. That's what I've been led to believe, that it was between the developer and Jack Strand.
It is between the developer and Jack Strand. Jack, at this point, is unwilling to sell the property.
And is it a
just start again?
Yeah. Okay. Do we know, is it just a price issue or alternative use? Do we know what's kind of behind his thinking and how far, you know, discussions have advanced? I don't know if anybody actually has got as far as like making an offer, or he's even cutting it off before that.
I don't think it's a price issue. I think he's just not interested in selling at this time.
That's my understanding as well. And there's been offers. There's been acceptance of offers. I don't know, an LOI or at least something verbally accepted and then sort of pulled back later. So that's kind of the point. Like, that's where I'm saying I don't think he's going to sell. And if he does, maybe he will 5 years from now. But I don't think any of us want to wait another 5 years unless we have to.
Well, if you're left with site A, is that correct?
Well,
Anthony, but they're not contiguous, so they're separate developments.
And I thought that there was some talk about selling or the his portion of the parking lot there, that that might be something they'd be willing to do, but they just didn't want to get rid of the building.
Yeah, potentially. I think that's something that we'd have to take a look at again, because you're right, there is a potential to swap parking, right, and just offer it up in kind, either in the same location or as part of another building. But I don't know that for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be contingent. Anything we discuss would be contingent about that, I think.
Didn't IBT assume that C was not in it, correct? Except for the parking. I thought that's where they ended up, a medical office building. That included A and the parking lot and B. Is that correct? Or maybe even the townhouses. What's the status on the townhouses to the south of B?
I know there's been some conversation between the developer and the property owners about a voluntary transaction there as well. But I don't think that has moved forward either. So A is the village-owned lot. B is Strand's property. C is the village's property. And then you have the townhomes to the south, and then you have 418 Franklin to the east.
Well, it sounds like the gating item.
There's a variety of site configurations. I'm sorry, Carr.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds like the gating item is the parking lot attached to C. So it's, you know, contiguous is going to influence it, you know, one way or the other. And if he's kind of reasonable there, that's going to, you know, present kind of more option. If he's not, then it's a whole different proposition.
Agreed.
Right.
And go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I could circle back too, and I don't know where we are with Walsh, but I do think it's worth, you know, at least considering, you know, bringing in, you know, a broker and having a more holistic kind of viewpoint. But I'm not sure, you know, where that stands or if we've kind of done that before.
Well, I don't think we have. And that's one thing when I started the commission, have we?
There was no, Eilers wasn't a broker, but Jennifer Tammen helped navigate some of that. But it hasn't been brokered, I don't think. And again, I think a lot of it was kind of on this group to do some of that stuff, to help push it a little bit, and through Eric, to be honest, and back then. I thought there was a deal. I don't know the exact arrangement with IBT and Walsh, but I thought we did push that. I don't know if is there a signed agreement or. I mean, the thought of actually going out again is, you know, it's fourth, fifth time. I think if you got a willing developer and they've been working in good faith, it seems to me that, yeah, if we can help push this, and maybe it is just the parking lot. But I thought too, as Bob said, that they were still trying to make progress on assemblage. But
so I guess that's where we need the update, because I thought we did have something with the medical offices, the parking lot, the retail, possible hospitality, first floor. But
yeah,
you know, I guess we need to get an update there then from the developer.
Kyler, you're right. That is what the potential tenant is. I know they've been looking at a tenant that would take up all of the upper floors as opposed to parceling it out between different tenants and then having some sort of restaurant and retail on the first floor. And so I believe that they have an interested tenant, and you're right, you have a reputable developer in hand. And so the question then I think becomes, how do you pivot? Do you want to go back out to the marketplace, or do you want to work with a partner and identify alternatives that take into account different site configurations?
Well, if this is moving, I think we need to find out first personally if it is moving forward, if we do have something, where they are, so that we can, without that, we'd just be guessing. So I think the first thing is we need to do is, and I'm happy to have the conversation with the people or others as well, if we get the contact information with whomever it is that we need to talk with, to see where they are in the process. If that is sort of stalled, because it does seem like a good idea, and I would think that the market would be favorable for this, and I think they have a city that's, you know, village that's favorable and looking to work with them, it seems like this would be moving forward quicker than it is. So I think if they are doing something, maybe we try to find a way to not light a fire, but aid them in some way so that we can, or at least see what their obstacles might be. If that's not the case, then I, and if it's, it is this sort of dead in the water, it's just sort of wait and see. As much as I wouldn't want to go out there, as Tim was saying, I think we, is while I understand it's our job to help with this, yeah. I think part of our job is to figure out when we need to hire other people to do their job. Yeah, and I think yeah. a brokerage would be, you know, they would spend the money, they would, you know, put the input, they would have the contacts to reach out to the different developers so that we're not just, you know, calling people we know, which I'm fine doing as well, but they would have a larger breadth.
We right now have a developer who has expressed a consistent interest, is moving ahead. We've tried to market this property multiple times. I think we can keep marketing forever and eventually get no reply. We've got, actually, as I recall, in three of the times we went out, one of the times you got zero replies. You got, right.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the consensus
out of the
is
three
to check.
Times that it's gone out, it's been, there isn't a massive amount of interest. And here you have a developer who's willing to tolerate a broken parcel, if you will, as opposed to the Strand building with the rest of the property.
Right.
Yeah,
I think
that makes
in hand right now.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think reaching out to Wall, seeing if they're committed, still interested in moving forward and kind of advancing the project. If they are, that's clearly the path of least resistance to go down that road. If they're not, step back and reassess. Is Eiler still involved at all? And what was their role?
Ellers, you mean Jennifer Tammy?
Eller, yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer went, I think Ellers closed, they closed their Chicago office.
Yes.
And Jennifer went over to Ernst & Young.
Yeah.
They had put together some numbers for us to see this, what would be the best use. And this assumed a lot of different numbers, a lot of different configurations. A lot of it had to do with, if I recall, with whether condos or rentals, neither of which I think there was much fanfare for in this space. An area. So I think I really like what was proposed. I think we all were in favor of it. So I agree with everyone else. First things first, let's figure out if they're moving forward. While I don't want to go back out, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but when we've marketed this, we've done the marketing. We've not hired a brokerage firm to do any marketing on this. This has just been more, we've reached out to people, correct? For those, I don't know if Lisa, you know, but
yes,
that's
but
not
again,
quite correct because she prepared a profile of River Forest, the corridor, economic benefits of River Forest, the average incomes. I mean, she put together a marketing pitch, and I thought it was a pretty nice one, very comprehensive.
She did, there,
you know. I mean,
and I bothered to read it all today again. It was a lot.
Yeah, no,
you can go to 10 other brokers, and I don't know how many times you want to try to sell a situation
right.
that wasn't well regarded, and now we've got an organization that's expressed more than a casual interest.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a strong in the. The last two RFPs, there was a pitch. There was definitely a pitch. And Jennifer actually in the last one did a developer roundtable. I mean, it was drumming up interest. So I think she was marketing it clearly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we have a bird in hand, we got somebody that was working on it, we should press them and see how we could facilitate. The biggest problem is if it's just parcel A, you got nothing.
Yeah.
You're gonna do a one-off. One story, you might do a placeholder. I don't know. You know, there's a question of do you wait or not, but parcel A is not enough.
No, I agree. I
think nobody's going to do anything here.
Yeah, and I think just to be clear about, I think we all agree, no one wants to bring this back out to market. If we have someone, I think we can all raise our hand that we're, you know, in agreement there. It's a matter of what we do if we don't have someone, what's the next step? But I guess we can shelve that for, after we figure that out. At this point, it'll just be, you know, talking for the sake of talking.
Who holds this is Katie Lowe's in the community room. Who holds the relationship then? And then our next step appears then is to reach out to get a status, mm-hmm. right? So then who does that and how can we help?
Sure. Sure. So the village has an existing relationship with IBT and a touch point there. Between Chairman Brown and I, we can do that. It's up to you who you want to include in that conversation. Any more than two of you becomes an open meeting. So I would just ask you to keep that in mind, and we can arrange that conversation.
Yeah, if anyone has interest, you know, shoot us an email, and we can make sure you're part of the conversation.
And do we know if anyone else other than Walsh, possibly, I guess we'll find out, has been in contact with the owner of C about the parking lot?
I thought it was basically he was willing to, Jack was willing to do an exchange on the lots.
That's what I thought too, but maybe we just.
Yeah,
we,
I mean, I, well, I think trying to specifically, and he was not opposed to that because, you know, it just wasn't really going to affect him.
Well, so I think after talking to Walsh, just trying to get, you know, direct confirmation from Jack, if that's still the case, just so we could kind of hear it firsthand and understand how he's, you know, thinking about it.
Okay. I think we have pretty clear directives here on what we want to do next. And yeah, any other questions, ideas? Okay. Then we'll move on. Lake and Lathrop. I think there was something in here as well.
Yeah. So if Kyler, if you don't mind, I'll just go ahead and give a brief update. Yep. Yep, there was a, as everybody knows, there was a plan development approved on the site in 2018 for a mixed-use development. That development was further refined over time, and they're now proposing 22 condominium units with a little over 14,000 square feet in commercial space with, I think the number was 86 on-site parking spaces. So they have brought the unit count down, and they've brought the building down one floor over time, which does actually improve their parking ratio there. So that's a positive development. They were before the board Monday night with an update that they have sold, or they have contracts on 50% of the residential units. They have lease negotiations going on with one retail tenant for the first floor, and they are in the letter of intent stage on two other potential tenants, including one restaurant and one MedTail tenant. They have cleared the hurdles needed for a building permit, and they are working on construction financing.
What was that last word, construction?
Financing.
So what happens if they're not able to get financing here? Do we have a plan for that?
That's something the village board will have to take up.
So this is another one that stalled.
I thought he had financing to at least do partial construction, basically the I'm going to call it the basement, the lower level, not above ground. I absolutely recall that was available already to him.
We had a bridge loan to do the demolition work.
Just that was it?
Yeah, they're not planning it. They need to pull construction financing together to go vertical.
Do we know the status of where that stands, if they've applied or being considered, or just TBD at this point?
No, they reported to the board Monday night that they are working with lenders and have term sheets from two lenders.
Good.
Term sheets, though. I mean, I know it's not for our position, but you can get a term sheet. I can send you a term sheet right now. You know what I mean? Like, it frustrates me. I'm just wondering. I don't know what our recourse is. For this committee, what we can do right now.
Well, at the board meeting, was there any determination or consideration around timing and what the next step is?
Any discussions that the board will have will likely be in closed session. And so okay. I don't have anything more to share about that.
Okay.
Well,
it's bottom line. It's not likely that we're going to see construction this year.
No.
Here we are. I mean, just being realistic.
There's no way.
Even if a financial institution said, here's the deal, he's got to line up construction, you know, equipment, and contractors are in tight demand right now. I mean,
yeah, there's no shot.
A year roll by.
So, but we would assume that he should be able to get financing if he's going to be able to get financing. You know, within the next couple.
You can assume that. I wouldn't.
No, I mean.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if he's able to get it, we would assume that within this year he should be able to get it. Otherwise, all right, well, I don't know what there is really for this committee to do on this one.
An update at this point, and so yeah. I think we can move on to Madison Street.
Okay. So Madison Street, we actually went out there. There's been... Right now, we do have a willing developer. We did receive an LOI. It looks like a real deal. I'm not sure how much I can share at this point, to be honest with you, as we're not in an executive session, but so I don't know exactly the rules around that.
So, yeah, I mean, here's what I think we can share. And then any discussion regarding the sale of the property and setting a price for sale of the property is something we can talk about in closed session. So I think, Kyler, just to, for the purposes of this discussion, we went out with an expression of interest and sent that off to about 10 potential developers. We have received really nothing formally in response to that expression of interest, but we did have two developers over the past year who had proposed two residential projects. One was low density with adaptive reuse of the building and one very small commercial space within that proposal. The other was a much higher density, solely residential development across the whole block. And so based on what we saw, we opted at this point not to proceed with either proposal and instead continue to go back out and see what kind of interest there is in that particular property. And so the village continues to entertain conversations with developers who inquire about it. Most recently, we did meet on site with a potential developer who, you're right, Kyler, they have proposed a letter of intent. The village is going to enter into negotiations over that. And part of those negotiations will include the setting of a price for sale for the property. Right now, we don't have concept plans to share with the group. They haven't done any site plan work, and we will have more information to come at the coming meetings. But we're very excited about the potential for development there.
I was about to add something like that. It seems like it will be, you know, we can discuss more about it, but it seems like I think we'll be happy with what they're proposing. To a degree, you know, a lot of components of it. Not too dense, higher end, nice facade, a nice entryway into the village. It seems like a neat project. So we can certainly have more about that. But any questions?
Is it to the extent you can share, is it the entire site or is it partial?
They're okay doing it without Pete's. And the, you know, we think that the Greek law firm, I don't mean to call them the Greek law firm, I just can't remember the last we think they'll sell as well, yeah. And I don't mind, you know, sharing. It's a mixed use development, but, you know, with a nice look to it and some complimentary first floor retail spaces that I think will, you know, it sounded like a nice project. It was a group of, you know, not traditional developers, but people with backgrounds that should be able to hopefully get this done. So if this does happen, it'll fly in the face of all logic, because to a certain degree, they did just come. I know we were marketing it, but this is one that sort of just came to us to a degree, and it seems like a good fit. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think it's nice to have a developer who expressed a sincere interest in the property. However, I think the real value of the property rests with the acquisition of the remaining two parcels that were not part of the program right now. And I've expressed my opinion in closed session on what should happen there. But I think when you can offer an entire city block plus the two parcels to the immediate north, you've really got a very large, substantial area that I think a number of developers would be much more interested in than getting like 75% of the way there and not completing it and still having some, what's the diplomatic way, less than desirable adjacent properties aesthetically and operationally. In other words, I think you'd get a lot of interest if you had a whole city block available. And that takes the board's some unique actions that the board would have to do.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't
disagree with that.
There's no doubt. No.
So Raj, I don't know if you could put your microphone on, because otherwise the people who are on the call can't hear you. Do you want to re-ask your question? And if you could sit
away. So my question was, so Pete is adamant he doesn't want to sell.
I don't know if he's adamant that he doesn't want to sell. I've not had any firsthand conversation with him about that. We have encouraged developers who are interested in the property to approach him and determine whether or not he's interested. I've not been made aware of any LOIs or contracts for purchase up to this point. So I think Palafis in the past has had some interest in selling. I don't know if they remain interested or not.
Yeah, I think the question will be, if we do have a developer that's willing to do the site as is, what do we do then? There's the fork in the road. Do we move forward with that development? You know, obviously there's variables here. Everyone would have to hear about it. We'd have to understand what it would look like to the community, et cetera. Or do we take other measures and try to get the whole lot and bring it out to a larger variety with a full block, as Bob was mentioning? I think maybe the action here would be to wait and see what this development looks like. And if it's something that, you know, the committee would recommend to the board after reviewing, then we'd move forward with that if we think we should take another route. And they also, at the same time, can reach out to Pete.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they're interested, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let them reach out and get some feedback. If it's actionable and feels it's real, maybe he responds differently. So who knows?
And maybe we move forward with this development and a unique, and try to get that last piece as well. So maybe it's a combination of the two.
Well, yeah, details help to know what they're talking about. And I don't know if there's a way to phase it, you know, such that it would
not build the model. Not this project. You couldn't.
No. Okay.
You're straight, similar to what they have going on across the street, but, you know, a little bit more upscale is what they were mentioning. Yeah, it was a neat project. They were talking about putting a park on the roof, you know, things like that. You know, it seemed like, we'll see, but maybe we should get the details of.
Yeah.
And then move forward from there.
But there's no doubt, you know, a bigger site helps. Same thing with Lake and Park. I mean, it's the same. Yeah.
Well, it's also, you know, one of the things, and I wanted to have Starbucks on here too, but maybe we could just talk about it briefly, that, you know, that area. One of the things I think it's important for the village to think about is entryways into the village, right? You know, I mean, we have a few of them. I think CVS is a pretty nice entryway, believe it or not, you know, considering what it is. You know, we have a gas station on another one, which isn't great. You know, we have Pete's over there. We have a closed Starbucks, you know, one inch. You know what I mean? So it would be nice if instead of having Pete's, which whatever, we had a nice development there that said, welcome to River Forest. And, you know, they would just look nicer, as Bob was saying earlier. You know, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I think we can all agree. The first thing you want to see when you can move into the village might not be a, you know, auto body shop.
Right. I'm not sure there's a real perceived entry, although we know it as because of the boundary. But I think the entry really is down in Madison and Harlem. But I mean, I think as it comes along, it is a gateway into River Forest, where we overlap the Forest Park. But I agree with you completely as an urban planner. Gateways are critical. I like the idea of trying to bolster those.
Yeah. It would. Yeah. So we understand that. So more to come on that. I think, Lisa, where do we stand with them? I haven't heard any other emails recently. Have we have the LOI that it's being reviewed or?
Yeah.
Okay. So we should have more information hopefully at the next meeting, and we'll go from there. North Avenue TIF District. If you could give us an update there, Lisa. If there
sure,
is one.
You know, at this point, yeah, there's not a lot to report in terms of the North Avenue TIF District other than the fact that it exists and we would like to get something moving there. The village has not acquired any property along this corridor. So anything that would happen at this point, as far as we know, would be voluntary property assembly. But we continue to monitor the area for, you know, properties that are available or other property owners who are interested in selling. I have not received any contacts from residents or business owners in that area who are pursuing redevelopment at this point.
It's the whole, can you explain the actual, it's on Harlem to Thatcher?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. The district on North Avenue spans from all of North Avenue, the south side of it, from Harlem to Thatcher. And as you'll see in the map that was included in your packet, there are a couple properties, you know, one or two lots deep of the commercial zone, because just like in Madison Street, property assembly lot depth is a challenge in those locations to attract desirable development.
Correct. And also there's other techniques of dead ending streets, not that we do that, but making parking out of streets, kind of like Elmwood's done and others. So again, it wasn't necessarily acquisition, which was always a big issue, but other putting it in the district so that we might do public realm improvements and things and parking, you know, maybe rethink how we run some of these streets. So all that was on the table. And it kind of goes back to your entry point, you know, entry discussion. While CVS is okay, I mean, it's nice, but as you move further past, it just kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, is there public realm improvements, things like that? Again, usually that's best when you have increment and you have development. And I don't know if I'm sure we're tracking increment. Was it Friedman? Who's doing the TIF? It's Friedman, right?
Kate McKenna.
Oh, McKenna. That's right. Sorry. The other. But yes, McKenna. So, you know, I don't know if we have a sense of increment. I'm sure we're tracking that. But, you know, again, that the other idea was that this could be facilitate corridor improvements. Usually with the hope of, again, attracting development. But, you know, if parcels aren't available, it still may be worth looking at other improvements. Assuming there's some increment, I can't believe there's that much because we haven't had a lot of new development, but certainly there's some appreciation, I would hope.
We can run a report regarding what that balance is. I just don't have it off the top of my head.
Right. I didn't. Yeah. That's fine.
To my knowledge, have we gone out to anyone, any third parties, and, you know, and looked at what, you know, if anyone's looking to sell, if there's any development there? I know we've done a little bit of that, but I mean, I feel like we're being, and perhaps it's our role, not our role, but it's proper in this case, but we're being somewhat passive in how we're, you know, if something happens, then we'll be there for it.
Is there reactionary versus proactive?
Exactly. Yeah. Is there any I'm thinking, what can we do that be proactive to, you know, drum up some interest? Again, I don't mean to, you know, somehow market it, somehow reach out to, you know, I don't think Wally's on the phone, but, you know, reach out to brokers that might be interested. I don't know what that looks like, to be honest. I mean, I have ideas, but I'm just wondering if we've done anything. I don't think we have. So, I mean, to me, that would be one where, you know, I'd really want to talk with someone and just maybe identify a few properties that there's able to consolidate, you know, some of the buildings on there, you know, there's like an old, you know, so there's some rundown apartment buildings and things of that nature where we could probably get a discount if they knew that the village was looking to help, you know, with parking and things of that nature, which isn't always an issue on North Avenue. They might be willing to, to put something together?
Well, typically you would go back to the comprehensive plan and look at what was targeted as priority sites, priority development and opportunities. You could then approach it that way. The intent of the TIF was also to, again, give the arm, the village, with development tools and incentives and things that could be used towards acquisition and things like that to help facilitate development. So, part of it too, maybe just going back and looking at that carefully and with today's eyes and also increment in mind and what we might have to see if there's a means to help facilitate. I mean, again, I think that is part of this, part of our role, part of the village's role, I think, is to encourage development, facilitate. That's why the TIF was done. So I'd have to go back and look at the comp plan and see if they had identified sites, but maybe there's some more that are, again, being opportunistic, maybe there are some that low-hanging fruit that maybe we could look at. So,
right. I think that's a good idea. And I guess, you know, I wanted to make sure when we're talking about this, you know, our role is, you know, to help facilitate some of these natures, identify opportunity, bring suggestions to the board, you know, as I understand it, you know, and then meet with third parties. I feel like there's been, and I know we've marketed some things in some areas, but do we have like an ongoing relationship with some of the more, you know, retail brokers that would be, you know, a good fit for something like this? Or are we handling that kind of as one-offs or with people that we know? Does that make sense? It's kind of an odd question, but I'm just curious how we're, you know, I'm sure we all have nice Rolodexes and we can reach out to, you know, people, but we're all in different fields as well. You know, is there a group of people that we are actively reaching out to, you know, when something pops up? You know, I know.
I think we've basically been winging it with, you know, just people that are known.
That's what
not
I think.
Not a concerted effort, just a more casual approach.
That's my understanding as well. And I don't like it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's okay. I think we know a bunch of people and that's fine. But I'd feel more comfortable personally if we had like a plan and maybe a group of people that we reached out to on a regular basis to get feedback on. And I know, you know, knowing people in that world, I know that brokers would be happy to do that as well. And it wouldn't cost the village anything. We wouldn't have to be paying a third party. They'd be doing it on their own for the hope of, you know, hopefully being able to get the properties and market it. So, if it's okay with people, I'd like to start, you know, and we have to maybe understand how we do this, but Lisa, you know, if there's people that we know, we could still use our, you know, the people that we know, but we should probably start having more direct conversations with some of these third party brokerages or people, you know, developers as well. But it's just sort of difficult if we're just doing developers that we happen to know. And my dog found a squeaky toy because he left. And doing it casually, I just think we don't have a far enough reach. We're going to keep on finding people in our backyard, which is fine, but I don't know. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion. I think it's something we should follow up on, and think we could kind of be in a situation to still funnel people we know to the brokers. But particularly if we have a number of projects, that could put us in a different kind of class with some of these guys as well. And I think you got best practices. So I think there's just a lot of benefits along with the theme of being kind of more kind of proactive, you know, staying within our role.
So what do you foresee, like finding brokers and telling them go reach out to these owners who own property on North Avenue and see if they want to sell them to improve them? Is that
well? I think we
I mean, I think we would have to go a little bit more further than that. I mean, internally, I don't know who does it, but, you know, we have to look at each piece of property, if you will, individually and see what is possible to be done on that, what changes would have to be made to make it attractive for somebody to take it on. I mean, you know, no, to just tell somebody to, well, reach out and see who wants to sell, I mean, maybe somebody wants to buy it, but they perhaps don't want to buy it the way it is zoned, or, you know, whatever the reasons are. So I think we need to look at it from a more, like, somebody needs to be more hands-on and look at each property and go, well, what's happening here? How much is the area? What, you know, what can possibly be done there the way it's currently zoned, or what would we have to do to make it more attractive for somebody? I think at that point, the broker would be more willing to work with us and do the legwork, if you will, for free, if they know that they're going to get some kind of support from the village to make the property desirable to be marketed. So yeah. I think it's a good idea to go with the brokers, but I think we need to have something more concrete on a more property by property basis.
How about this? Why don't we try to set up, I don't know, a subcommittee or, you know, a group of us, and I'm happy to volunteer to try to, you know, give this some more thought, maybe talk to a couple brokers, you know, talk to Lisa, make sure so we kind of have our role, and then kind of, you know, report back to the group as far as, you know, possible kind of next steps of what we would need to do to be more proactive and constructively engage brokers.
Totally agree. I think that's a great idea, all of them. And I think, you know, to Tim's point earlier, I think the first step is to go back to the comprehensive plan and see if there's properties identified, review them. Maybe, you know, even you can just go out there and look, you know, and see some properties, get some of that information, do some research there, and then go to the brokers, because they're not, you know, they're not going to do all of it.
I mean, again, in theory, the comprehensive plan should have some of that in it. I think it does. It gives some suggestions on sites and what's possible in terms of development and configurations. So we have some of that. But now I think it's taking today's eyes and looking at it a little bit and maybe prioritizing, you know, what the opportunities might be based on conditions and things like that. So, I mean, I think we have some, but we haven't packaged it yet. You have to have something to sell, I think, you know, in a way. Or priorities, or again, the other strategy is just say, hey, we have this kit of parts here, the developer tools from TIF to a willing village to we're willing to work on zoning, whatever it may be, and just say, we'll work with you to facilitate, go out and brokers bring us development. I mean, I think that's less likely, but I do think, you know, I think the first step, I agree. I think we probably go back and look at the comp plan a little bit more and see if we can prioritize.
I don't think you can just ask brokers, what's your ideas? I think you have to have a real sense of direction. Comprehensive plan starts it.
Yes.
But I think you'd have to be very focused to say, here's what we want to accomplish. We're looking at block A, B, C, or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is what the comprehensive plan says. What do you think we can do on this? As opposed to pie in the sky and they're going to listen to you and walk away saying, why waste our time?
I agree.
You really have to have a direction to ask people to get involved in that type of project, whether they're paid or not paid.
No, great. And I think stepping back and figuring out the best way to, you know, put that together so we could approach them in a credible way.
Yeah, I agree completely with everything that's being said.
And I'm happy to help out there. So if we want to get a group.
You know, I offered this last time, and I don't know how we do this, but to be honest, I think we would be very beneficial to do this on all the projects, to look at all the two core TIF quarters, all of it, and kind of say, all right, let's recast this a little bit and redirect and be, you know, where are we now? We've got a comp plan that gives us some direction. We got a TIF in place. We got all this. What are our priorities? And we just haven't done that. And I think we got enough new people, which is great. Some, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to sit down and I don't know if it is, maybe you section it off street by street, but or can we just convene a whole group and do a work session, a couple work sessions to brainstorm on all of it, put maps on the table. I'm kind of a visual guy. I think you throw all that stuff out there and you start talking it through. And you get in that time too, you're also getting updates and everybody gets up to speed because there's a lot of stuff that's happened and a lot of history on this, a lot of things that have been done that we should revisit and kind of, you know, again, recast it all. So that would be my suggestion again.
Tim, this is Katie. Katie, that would be extremely helpful for me. I'm like in the plan and I've read it and I've read all the documents, but I'm seeking some kind of like a rubric or something more objective to say, here's what a great opportunity looks like. It hits all of the boxes and therefore it is a great opportunity, or it only checks two boxes, therefore it is not a great opportunity. I'm looking at the core objectives in the plan. I'm hoping to get a little bit more granular. So I volunteer to put something together, but absolutely need the history to be able to better help.
Yep.
So what you have described sounds amazing.
Yeah, I agree. So why don't we...
To ask the question a little differently, what would, if we had a developer come in and let's say we have a willing seller, what would it take to make that property desirable for them to do a development? Do we know that? Like between this street and this street, what would you like to see so that you would want to develop this piece of land? Do we have a sense of that, or?
Yeah, so I think that's what the comprehensive plan starts to get into, right? So that it's broken down into identifying and recognizing what the existing land uses are, and then identifying which sites are likely to remain the uses that they are, which sites are candidates for redevelopment, and what type of redevelopment would likely be desirable or successful there.
Okay.
And so I think we can do a deeper dive. I think getting maps out, pairing up what this is the site, this is the current, this is what the comp plan calls for, and just some factual information about underlying zoning, property ownership could be helpful to target, so that when we're talking about North Avenue TIF, it is a long stretch, but we're not talking about every property within that stretch.
Correct.
But I think it would be beneficial just to step back, comprehensive kind of overview of all the different projects, as we're saying, a collective thought on brokers, how they could apply to individual projects, you know, roles, goals, objectives, just being clear there. Just, I think everybody grounded in a level set, you know, makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Yeah. But and that's somewhat what we're, you know, doing here. And I think I'm glad we had so many people involved too, so we can kind of get a little bit more update, come up with some next steps, which is great. And I love the idea of getting in a room and putting maps on the table and understanding each property, you know, what history we have there, and getting some more information. I think that's great. I'm so happy you guys are all, you know, aboard to do that. So sounds like it. So next step there, we'll follow up with trying to get together some time to, you know, I think it's a lot to try to do the whole village. While I certainly think we can talk about it personally, I think we have so much on North Avenue that might be a meeting on its own. If we really want to get our hands dirty and look at each property and, you know, review back, but I'm happy to do anything.
I think that we prioritize immediately is the pieces that are in play. And I think there's history in those. I think we should talk those through, because there's a lot of questions, I'm sure. Well, what do we think of this? Do we think of that? Yes. I mean, there's been a lot of history. I think it'd be great to bring everybody up to speed on, and then how do we move forward? And I think critical are those near-term things that we've already talked about. Then I think it's a matter of, right, what's our next layer? And that's kind of what we're in on. What are the, you know, all of these things, the two TIF districts, how do we, you know, we put those in place to help push development. You know, how do we activate that? So, I mean, yeah, I agree, but I think we start with a deep dive on all the projects that are active and going, and parcels that have been out to the market. But yeah, and we may have to split it up.
So that'll be, okay.
And I think it's a couple of, I mean, it's some time, so it's a commitment.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like a board retreat to a degree.
Kind of, yeah.
We're in it, you know, we go someplace and we're there for the morning or the evening or something like that.
Right.
But let's maybe have another one of these in our normal meeting. So we can set that up so that we're not, so we're really getting work done there at that time. We're not wasting time.
Right.
But, you know, but in the meantime, still kind of following up some things we said, somebody was going to reach out to Walsh from Lake Park, just so we don't lose sight of some of these near-term things we talked about.
Agreed. And,
yeah, I think we're all in favor of, you know, keeping everything moving forward. I actually have to go. I apologize. I have to go pick up a kid from football and things of that nature. Is that going to be? I think I'm up to speed on most of this. I apologize. Well, I can do the Dominican Priory area as well.
And then we also have Lake in Harlem too. Is another one we should talk about. To your gateway.
That's actually, I wanted that to be on there. So if I could just, because I will have to leave. Do we know what this current status of, you know, the Whole Foods, the shoe store, I can't remember the name, you know, that we have a couple of vacancies there now with Starbucks leaving. I think that's managed by Mid-America for some reason.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do we know what's going on there?
It's on hold at the moment. Yeah, Whole Foods still has a lease on the property, so nothing new to report.
They have a lease on the property that they're currently.
They have a lease on the building. They have a lease. So Whole Foods Whole Foods is there for the time being.
In their current location.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I have someone that actually does planning and development for Whole Foods. I mean, do we know? Because I know she was talking about it. They wanted to move over to the discount shoe warehouse space. They had a whole plan that was seeming like it was going to move forward. I mean, they hate that. Whole Foods hates that Whole Foods as much as we hate that Whole Foods, by the way.
Yeah, I think that making the mechanics and the finances of the deal work have been a little bit of a challenge there. And so I think at some point we'll get back to it. But for right now, it's on hold.
All right. Well, is there anything that the committee can do to help with this?
No, at this point, no, I don't think so.
And do we know, I know Starbucks, that's relatively recent. Do we have any idea what their plans are there?
So we've got a request into Mid-America to come to a board meeting. So to update the community on what's happening there. So hopefully they'll be at the meeting on either the 11th or the 25th and can give us an update on what they're doing to try to fill that space.
Okay. And then that'd be good to know, because obviously there's some turnover there and that's another entryway, as Tim was saying.
So in terms of logistics for the remainder of the meeting, Kyler, if you have to leave, one option would be to either we can end the meeting or we can continue the meeting and someone could become chair pro tem who is on the commission to continue the conversation, or we just pick it up at the next meeting. And then let's just talk about when that next meeting is going to be.
Would someone be willing to take the role?
Well, I have 10 minutes.
Well, you can do it for 10. And Bob,
what else is on the agenda that is of importance? And I also thought the board called us together too. Is there something they wanted to say, or is it just?
I think there's also a desire to start moving forward with making some decisions about what kind of program we'll put together to support the business community in light of the listening sessions and maybe we can rearrange the agenda a little bit so that if we have to terminate the meeting tonight, we can start with that conversation next time so that we can continue to move forward on that. Because what I'm kind of hearing is the meeting may need to wrap up. Based on the revised meeting schedule that the EDC has set, I've included in the last page of your packet next meeting date. So your next meeting, based on the first Monday of the month, would be this coming Monday, the 4th. And then we would consider those special meetings because, and just so you know why it's listed the way it is, the way the calendar was already approved, those are your regularly scheduled meetings. Those are being canceled, and then the special meetings are what your new schedule is. Just logistically, as an FYI, the first meeting of the month, there is also another advisory group that meets off-site. And so in terms of staffing the commission, unfortunately, I'm unable to be present at these meetings past 6:30 p.m. because I have to move over to the other location to host those meetings as well.
I thought we did that date, that Monday, because there wasn't a conflict. It was the other Monday that was a conflict. Did we pick the Monday that there is a conflict to do the meetings?
So for the village administrator's position, that staff position supports the Village Board of Trustees and DEI advisory group. DEI advisory group meets the first Monday of the month. The board meets the second and fourth Mondays of the month. If there's a committee of the whole meeting, that would be the third Monday of the month.
So if it works for people, could we still do the first Monday, but do 5 to 6 instead of 5? Lisa, I don't know if that works for you, Lisa, if we need a little extra half hour.
I can do 5:30 to 6:30. It's really up to you how much you are able to get done in an hour. We could also look at other dates besides Monday. Mondays and Thursdays are typically already set with commission meetings, but at some point there will be a transition in staffing, and so I think Thursdays would open back up for the village administrator.
Well, since a few of us have to jump, should we just move forward with that meeting on Monday, but have it be at 5 o'clock? I mean, it sounds like we still have some meat on the bone here, but people are already here. I'm happy to let the meeting go on, of course.
Yeah, my suggestion would be we meet Monday at 5 or 5:30 and we reconvene.
That'd be mine as well. If it's, is there an issue? Okay. Is there a problem with that? I mean, I just want to make sure, because I know people have come and they're there. I want to respect that.
That's fine. There will probably, well, just let me know what you want me to prepare for Monday night, with it being a pretty short turnaround, and just, you know, a few hours between the two meetings or a few days between the two meetings. I won't have the opportunity to prepare a lot for that meeting, but I think if we can pick up with the conversation about the business community and the ARPA funds, I think that would be a good place to continue the conversation.
Yeah, let's just do it as a continuation of this meeting.
I agree.
If there's any update on the Dominican property.
Yep.
Right.
There is in.
Okay.
That works.
Okay.
In that case, do we have a motion to, or are there any other questions before we motion to adjourn? Okay, then motion
sorry.
To adjourn.
Sorry, can I jump in? Was it 5 o'clock or 5:30 we decided on Monday?
What? I have it as 5:30, but if that doesn't work.
I just wasn't sure from the conversation. Sorry, I mean.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. Lisa, does 5:30 still work for you? Or do you want us to move it to 5? Both work for me.
It's really your call. I can make either work. So whatever everybody else's work schedules are, if we can start at 5, let's start at 5. So we give ourselves a little more time.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
5. Yes, I agree. 5 o'clock. 5.
That's fine.
All right. We great. Still need a motion to adjourn. Somebody or I'll.
So moved.
Graham.
Seconded.
Wrangle. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Have a good evening.
For being here in person.